just worship the Lord. Just magnify His name. Just take some time and bless Him out of your own heart. Out of your own heart. You know, we do it oftentimes when people lead us in with the music and everything. But you know, God wants to hear from us. Just worship Him. Just bless Him right now. Don't ask Him for anything. Just bless Him. Just bless the Lord. Just minister to the Lord right where you are. Just tell Him how good He is and thank Him. And just go ahead and just take some time to do that. Father, we praise You and magnify You. We glorify You. We honor You. You are the best. None can compare to You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship You. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, go ahead and worship Him. Just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Worship You, Lord. We worship. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, as we're worshiping Him, His refreshing presence just begins to flow in this place. How many of you noticed that? Just you can just feel it moving in this place. Just worship Him. Just magnify His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you don't have to wait till you come to church to enjoy His presence. You do it anytime, anywhere. Glory to God. Of course, it's easier corporately. Glory to God, because we're all joined together, one heart and one mind, just worshiping Him. And it's that corporate faith that we have that just allows things to flow much easier than even when we do it ourselves. But my goodness, listen to me. But you carry the presence of God. You have the presence of God wherever you go. So I know that you can worship Him just like this, wherever you are, wherever you are. And He's real, just like He is here. Glory to God. It's right here. Don't have to go looking for Him. Hallelujah. Don't have to wonder if the anointing's here or not, because the anointing is here. The anointing is here. Say that with me. The anointing is here. The anointing is here in this place. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Just going to wait on Him just a little bit. There's a little something floating around in my spirit. I'm going to wait until I get a hold of it, okay? So you go ahead and just worship the Lord and just let me work on this just a moment. Go ahead. Just go ahead and worship the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody go ahead. Hallelujah. We worship You. Hallelujah. For those of you that have been struggling, it seems as if there had been a yoke of oppression upon you, and it seems like you're under a cloud of some kind. But as you're worshiping the Lord, and as you're availing yourself in the presence of the Lord, and you turn your attention to Him, that yoke shall fall off, says the Lord. For the anointing destroys the yoke, says the Lord. And so do, as you enter in, and as you do partake of that which is the Lord has for you, that yoke shall fall off. So press in, press in. And even though you may not feel like it, yet press in. Even the word of the Lord coming forth, if it is obeyed, it shall work for you, says the Lord. No bondage is too difficult for the Lord to break in Jesus' name. So we worship you, Lord. Magnify your name. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bondage is broken. Oppression leaving in the name of Jesus. Every captive set free in Jesus' name. And some shall see now that they have freedom of movement in the areas in their body where they could not before. So begin to look to the Lord more and more and enjoy the freedom that He has for you. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're one of those that you've been dealing with some physical things, difficulties in moving or in some area, as you were worshiping the Lord, you begin to check that out now and see how the Lord is working mightily. The Lord is doing a work in you. The Lord is working in you. The Lord is helping you. The Lord is helping you right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is helping you right now. I said, the Lord is helping you right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place? He's ministering to you right now. Just continue to let Him minister to you. But you know what? You don't have to wait. It's good to be in the house of God. Don't get me wrong. But you are the house of God. You know what I'm saying? You are the house of God. And so I just encourage you to just allow the Lord to minister to you. Continue to minister to the Lord. And He will minister to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated. And while we're speaking tonight, I trust that you'll be drawing and continuing to drawing on the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to minister to you in this place. You know, it's not so important what I have to say as it is what the Lord has to say. Amen. And so we just encourage you to continue to being sensitive to that. Praise the Lord. And so, this week, you know, coming up, we're going to have 4th of July coming, and of course, you know, lots of people are going to be celebrating freedom in various ways, the freedom of our nation and our individual freedoms that we have and all of that. And I know that some people are already celebrating. I could hear them in my neighborhood. The boom's going off at night, you know, and already. And so anyway, you know, it's I've been in some nations where it wasn't particularly free. And here's another thing. I've been in some nations that were recently freed, meaning they had been recently freed before I got there, but the people were still living like and thinking like they did before they got free. And I thought that was interesting. Interesting. And so one of the things that we have to learn to do is to walk in our freedom, walk in the freedom that is ours, glory to God, and to be able to function in that. Romans chapter 8, verses, I'm going to begin there tonight. And I trust the Lord just to help me to get this out the way it needs to be, so it'll be a blessing to you. I don't want to get off in the ditch someplace, you know. Of course, you know, So we believe God for accuracy in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read that as we begin. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The J.B. Phillips New Testament says it this way, no condemnation now hangs over the head of those who are in Jesus Christ. For the new spiritual principle of life in Christ lifts me out of the old vicious circle of sin and death. And so what is that saying to us is this, that through Christ we have been lifted out of an old life into a new life. And in that new life, there is no condemnation. We've been lifted out of a lifestyle of sin and death that leads to condemnation. And so we've been lifted out. Paul here is unveiling telling us about an amazing, almost unimaginable freedom that you can have in Christ, free from the things that you had to deal with before you came in Christ. And so one of the things that I want to tell you is this, that, and I'm going to make this statement and then we'll look at it, because Paul said it, I'm going to say it again. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul unequivocally states that absolutely no condemnation, no judgment, no adverse sentence to those who are in Christ. Now, what he is talking about here, and this is what we got to talk about a little bit, because people take that statement and run with it. And that is this, Paul is talking about those who abide in Christ. How many of you know there are some people, they've been born again, you wouldn't hardly call their walk abiding. You know what I'm saying? And so Paul is describing the life of those who abide in him, who have found their place, and they have settled there. They dwell there. They are not going anywhere. They're in Christ, and that's their life. Their whole life is in Christ. And so there is no condemnation. So we must not. Now, one of the things that you want to do is you don't want to just use one scripture to establish a whole doctrine. You got to look at the rest of scripture and interpret one scripture in the light of the rest. I'll give you a couple of scriptures that kind of gives you the scope of this. In John chapter 3, verse 17, it says this, that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we have on one side, we have a statement here that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. And so sometimes people take that aspect and run with it and assume everything's okay no matter what I do. And that's one side. That is an aspect of where Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He never intended for any person to come under adverse sentence of judgment. But on the other hand, now look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 21. He says this, John said this. He said, now if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So evidently, we could say it this way, and I'm going to try to give it to you this way in a way that you understand. Evidently, Jesus didn't come to condemn you, but it does seem possible for me to condemn myself. Boy, you got quiet on me on that one.
Hallelujah. But you have to understand that. So here's the thing. I know God's not in the condemning business in that sense. In the sense that he's come to look for something wrong in you. He's not trying to trick you into, you know, I'm going to catch you doing something wrong. What he has come to make a way for you to walk in righteousness and to walk in the justification of your life so that you can be free from sin, free from spiritual death, free from every condemnation, free from every judgment. Of course, now, you know, when we say free from every judgment, that means this. We also have to bring this in. If you judge yourself, then he does not have to judge you. Isn't that right? And Jesus himself said that the Father has given to all judgment to the Son. And then in another place, he said, it's not I that judges, but the words that I speak that judge you. So the word that you got in your hand, it can either judge you right now. You can either judge yourself by that. Or you can actually, I wouldn't recommend it, but you can wait and let him judge you with the word later. I wouldn't recommend that, but you know, I'd just recommend you go ahead and judge yourself. Isn't that right? Well, you're getting quiet on me now tonight. You know, you say, well, I'm waiting for something better. I know some people are always waiting something better. They don't want to commit to this right now because, you know, they're hoping for something better. You ever hear somebody, see somebody, well, I don't know. They offered me this, but I'm hoping. Well, listen to me. Go ahead and hope. But stay with me. But you have to understand that there are people that actually look at this scripture right here. And they get in one ditch or the other. Now, here's the thing. I've met people that assume everything they do is okay no matter what. God doesn't condemn me. But on the other hand, I have seen people who every time that they have a bad feeling inside, they assume that they're being judged and that they're in danger of losing their salvation and all of that. And they're come under needless condemnation in that sense. So you can get in the ditch either way. I said you can get in the ditch either way. You said, well, where's the road on that? Well, somewhere in the middle there. Somewhere in the middle there. The enemy will come along and help you condemn yourself. He'll make sure you feel bad. But you know, here's the thing. God didn't tell you to go by your feelings. He told you to go by the truth of his word. Now, the truth of his word is this. In Christ, there's no condemnation. But evidently, you can get yourself over into an area where you condemn yourself. Because it says, if your heart does not condemn you, so evidently it's possible for your heart to condemn you. Interesting, isn't it? But now, listen to me. So some people have rejoiced in that that some translations of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, they seem to like this, where some translations leave off that last phrase. And here's, you know, the last phrase, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Some translations leave that out because there is a particular Greek manuscript in which some translations are based upon that does not have that in there. Other Greek manuscripts have it in there. So it depends on which Greek manuscript you want to look at. Okay, so that's why they have that. And so they said, well, it doesn't matter what I do. There's no condemnation in Christ. And so, you know, I can do whatever I want. When the truth of the matter is, we ought to take a look at this and see this, that actually Romans chapter 8, verse 1 begins this way. Did you notice this? Therefore now, no condemnation. There is therefore now. What does that mean? That means Paul is connecting, even though it's the first verse in chapter 8, he's actually connecting or continuing what he talked about or ended up with in chapter 7. So let's take a look at that and see what he said in chapter 7 and connect that with verse 8. He says in Romans chapter 7, verse 22, let's begin with verse 22. He says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he goes on and says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so then he goes on and says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we see this then in context. Paul says, unless Christ, I encounter what Christ did, I'm a wretched man. I am condemned. But thank God for him. Thank God for Jesus. Everybody say, thank God for Jesus. Can you say that? Thank God for what he did. Isn't that right? And so we go on and we can see this then, that this phrase, let's just say this then, because the context suggests that there is certain things are important in what we do. It's not just the verse. It's not just the accuracy of that verse. It's not just dependent on some ancient manuscript, but the context suggests that it is okay for that phrase, that latter phrase to be there, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so we know this then, the phrase, who do not walk according to the flesh. Now listen to me, don't get upset about that phrase right there. Because when it says to those who do not walk according to the flesh, this is not talking about somebody who slips and makes a mistake or momentarily yields to temptation, gets into sin, and immediately, runs to God and gets and confesses his sin and gets right with God. This is not what this is talking about. What is this talking about? This is talking about somebody, listen to me, that is not at a moment in the flesh, but continue. Now listen, I like to say it this way. How many of you ever notice when you walk, you maintain a certain pace? And I like to say it this way. A walk can be described this way, as a pace which you can reasonably maintain for a period of time. Isn't that right? And so here, that's what it's talking about, is somebody who continually, consistently maintains a pace of living after the dictates of the flesh and doesn't repent. That's not what we're talking about, but somebody who walks according to the dictates of the Spirit, according to what the Spirit of God says. In other words, the Spirit of God. How many of you know the Spirit of God will warn you when the temptation comes up? And how many of you warn, the Spirit of God will give you direction, go over this way, and you can avoid some trouble over here. And that's what I'm talking about, is learning to be led by the Spirit. Did you know? Now listen to me. Somebody needs to hear that. You don't need to see everything. You don't need to be every place. There's some places you ought to avoid like the plague. There are some things you ought to close your eyes to. Why is it? Because it'll lead you right into condemnation. It'll lead you into fleshly desires, and it'll make you wake up someday and wonder how you got there. It's because you didn't watch what you saw. You went someplace where you shouldn't have gone, and you hung around somebody you shouldn't have hung around with. All right, I can see how good this is going. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord here. But now look, listen to this. So he says to walk according to the Spirit. This phrase implies that we are to walk continually, consistently, maintain a pace according to the dictates of the Spirit. What he says is what I walk in. If he tells me to go this direction, I'm not wandering off to the left or the right. I'm not busy over here checking this out and checking that out and then come back and go do what the Spirit told me to do whenever in my own good time. No, I'm focused. I'm consistently moving forward. Now listen to that. And so that leads us to Romans chapter 8. Now listen, if you haven't bought into what I'm saying yet, and you're not sure whether that phrase, you don't really like that, appreciate that phrase in verse 1 yet, then look down in verse 4 and the phrase is there again. All right, there's no argument about that one in the manuscripts. So he says there in verse 4 that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So we want to walk according to the Spirit, to the dictates of the Spirit. Isn't that right? So that, what does that lead us to? Why do we want to do that? Why is this so important? Because verse 2, he says, for, here's what we're doing it for. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I want to tell you something right now. That is a past tense statement. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The moment I got born again, I stepped under the rulership of a different law. I stepped out from under the dictates of a sinful fleshly nature, and I stepped into another realm where I'm to be dictated and ruled and governed by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Actually, that phrase, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's a long phrase, isn't it? That's talking about the new nature that you have. In other words, did you know the new nature that you've been born again with? That describes that you have a new life in Christ Jesus. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. You got it. I said, you got it. What does that mean? You got a new nature that is like the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God can work with and which enables you to follow the dictates of the Spirit. In other words, here's the thing. You take somebody who's never been born again and you tell them to follow the dictates of the Spirit, you're wasting your time because they don't have the wherewithal to do it. They got something else ruling them. So here's the thing, friend. Listen to me. You have had a nature change. Now, why is that? So that you are able to walk in freedom from sin and death. Listen to me. Let's move on real quickly. I want to share this with you. So then we are free from the old nature of sin. A born again person is free then from all guilt, shame, wrongdoing, and condemnation. Because the nature that made them do that is removed. Now you have a new nature. See, you don't have to do that stuff anymore. So now listen to me. I'm going to tell you this by the Spirit of God because somebody in here is dealing with this. You do not have to do what you've been doing. The devil's been lying to you. You say, well, I've just been helpless. I'll tell you what, it's just helpless. I just have to. No, you don't have to. That you have a new nature. The devil's been lying to you and not telling you the truth and making you live under something that you have been made free from. But see, when you buy into the devil's lie and you don't know the truth, the devil will make you live under stuff that you don't have to. Come on now. So here's the thing. We who have received Christ have been granted a full pardon. Did you know that? Listen to me. The charges were great. The charges were something that we couldn't get away from. We were headed for certain death. But Christ came. And he took our sentence. He took the adverse sentence that should have been handed down to us, and he said, I'll take that for you. And so here's what that means then. It means this then, that we have no charges against us anymore. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus, that's what it means when it says no condemnation. If you're in Christ and you're walking consistently, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about you may have moments when you wish you'd have done better. It's very possible that you may have a bad day where you just wish, man, you repent before God and say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. There is a life that you have entered into. And when the blood is applied, all charges are erased. Listen to me. In that life, there is no more obligation on your part to obey the enemy's temptation. There's no more obligation to sin. There's no more obligation to yield to fleshly desire. You owe nothing to your flesh. You can tell your flesh you better shut up. You can get as rude as you want to about your flesh. You really can. I can't tell you how many times I told my mind, you better shut up. I don't want to hear from you right now. You know what I'm saying? How many of your minds work? And so sometimes my mind wants to speak up. My flesh wants to speak up and say, shut up. Listen to me. Every great man or woman of God has had to deal ruthlessly with their self. Paul said he beat himself. In other words, not physically, but he said, I buffeted my body, lest I be a castaway. He said, I did not let my body do what it wanted to do. What does that mean? He insisted on living in the freedom that he had in Christ. You have to insist on it. Because if they say, oh, I don't know, I just like to do this. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. But listen to me. You better tell your flesh, you better get with it, or I'm going to leave you behind. And you know what you're going to look like when I leave you behind. You're going to be laying horizontal, and lots of people are going to be coming looking at you. Do you want that? You know? The Bible says we're totally free from sin and death, spiritual death. Sin is not our master anymore. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Listen to me. When temptation comes up, you don't have to do it. You say, well, I'm just so weak. I just seem like I fall at the same time, every place. It's just predictable. I'm predictable. Let me tell you, let me give you a couple things here real quickly. I'm going to go through it real fast. We have been made free by the redemptive work of Christ. You need to know that. Have been. John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. In another place, Romans chapter 8, verse 33 through 34, Paul says this, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? In other words, who's going to bring a charge against you? Who can do it? He said this, it is God who justifies. Goes on in 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Listen to me, you are not in this alone. You don't face temptation alone. You don't have to deal with your fleshly desires by yourself. Christ is interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. His blood speaks on your behalf. Something else you need to know. I'll just say it to you this way. I'm going to say it to you negatively just to make an impact. If you don't get in this book, you're not going to have much victory. Almost every time that somebody's struggling in their walk, it's because they don't have sufficient revelation to carry them in victory. The victory's there. The freedom is there. But listen to me, my friend, I have to insist on being in the book and having the revelation of what the Bible says, the truth of God's word, the truth of what Jesus did, so that I can walk in that. Jesus said, if you know the truth, then you, what? The truth shall make you free. Listen to me. Something happens when you get yourself in the book. There's freedom that comes. Then you go on. Here's another thought. Here, listen to me. I'm talking to you who don't think that you can do anything other than what you've been doing. Listen to me. The Spirit of God is here to help us walk in freedom and liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That means he brings freedom. That brings, he enables me, he empowers me to resist the enemy and to insist on walking in what God has for me. Now go on. He says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, stand fast therefore in the freedom wherewith Christ has set you free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. In other words, you don't have to be. You don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to be under a yoke. Listen to me. You've got to insist. What does it mean when it says stand fast? That means you better grab hold of something and stand fast. In other words, you grab hold of the truth. I'm clinging to the truth. How many of you have ever had a Band-Aid, you know, something happened on your arm, and you know, some of you don't have near as much hair on your arm as I do, but you know, do you ever have a Band-Aid on the hairy part of your skin? You know, I'm telling you, and then you go to pull it off. Man, if you weren't awake, you're going to get awake. Now listen to me. Here's what the Lord explained it to me. He said, when you cling to the Word of God like a Band-Aid on the hairy part of your skin, he said, that's when you're believing. I know that sounds a little crude, but you get the point. What's God trying to do? He's trying to help us to walk in freedom. Then listen to me. When you start, listen to me. If people would spend more time clinging to the truth of God's word than chasing after the delights of what they see. All right. I'll move on now. I just made my point, I think. Now listen to this. Galatians 5:13 then says, for you brethren have not been called to, have been called. In other words, let me start over. For you brethren have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. In other words, you say, no, you're free, but you're not free to do certain things. You're not free to go back in sin. You're not, God didn't give you freedom. So, okay, do whatever you want. No, he said, do not. You know, you haven't been given liberty to go back into the flesh, to live that way. No, what does he do? He said, but with love, serve one another. Now, I know your flesh doesn't like that one. You ever ask your flesh, do you love that person? Would you love? And your flesh, no. In your flesh, you're thinking, you know, why do they have their hair combed like that? Why'd they put that on? I mean, how I made them think that goes together? You know what I'm saying? No, you're laughing because you know those thoughts. But now listen to me. But what does the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus do? There's a child of God. There's a person that Jesus died for. They're precious and valuable in the eyes of the Lord. And so we get free to think the best of one another. What am I trying to say? I remember years ago, and I don't recommend you do what I'm getting ready to tell you, but this happened, okay? We had a bully in school that kept badgering and messing around with my older brother. My older brother was, let's just say it this way, he's not near as aggressive or active as I am. And so for some reason, he let that bully push him around, tell him what to do, give him a hard time. And one day, he's doing it again. I was reading a book at the time. I remember looking up, and I just quietly told the bully, I said, leave my brother alone. And the bully took one look at me, and I'm a skinny little kid. You know what I'm saying? I was skinny enough to dodge the rain, to not get wet in the rain. Dodge the raindrops. About how skinny I was back then. Those days are gone. But anyway, so he took one look at me and he just kept right on going, never missed a beat. And I don't know what happened to me. But I stood up. I said, I told you not to mess with my brother. And the next thing I remember is he's on his back and I'm coming too. When I come to myself, he's on his back and I'm working him over. I don't know how I got him down. I don't know. But you know what? That bully left my brother alone. My brother walked in freedom and victory he never had. Wasn't something he did. Something I did for him. Now that bully kept on messing with other people because other people didn't do what I did. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. My brother enjoyed freedom and he could go where he wanted to. My bully never told him he couldn't do this or couldn't do that, or he owed him this or owed him that, you know, like he'd been doing and talking bad to him and making fun of him and all of that. He no longer was under the accusations of that bully. No more at the mercy of the accuser of the brethren, so to speak. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me tonight. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is you have freedom in Christ because of what he did for you. And the reason we don't walk in that freedom and liberty is because we don't know about it, or the devil's lied to us and told us we can't. Or the devil comes along and says, well, that'll work for most people, but, you know, you got a special problem. And it's going to take a special move of God. So you're going to have to wait for it. You're going to have to wait for it, you know, because, you know, just an ordinary move won't do it. You know what I'm saying? But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Tonight, I just want you to know there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's the bottom line. Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And you're going to find there's a new life for you, a way of living, and a freedom that you never had. For the Lord has worked a mighty work so that you may be able to rise up. Don't live in the shadows of temptation or even sin, but walk in the sunshine and in the light of his word and begin to rejoice and know that the truth that is told therein is for you and that is possible for you. For yea, the Spirit of the Lord is even upon you, even right now in this hour, and the yoke is destroyed and you'll be able to move in the things you never walked before. This moment on, you shall move past. So rejoice in your freedom in Christ. Let's lift our hands up and let's thank the Lord. Stand with me to your feet, if you would, please. I don't know about you. How many of you are going to have a fun time on 4th of July? You going to do some, going to move around a little bit, have a happy time? God forbid we'd come to church and, you know, and just look around at each other like some, you know, bunch of sour pickles, you know. I'm saved. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. There ought to be some freedom in Christ. You ought to be free. You ought to be free. You ought to go and walk in your freedom. You ought to move in freedom. Let me tell you something. Galatians chapter 5 told you, you're free to love one another and not serve, and serve one another. You're free to love one another. You say, well, Brother Yoder, I'm just a private person. You're free to walk in love, because that which causes you to withdraw and causes you to be selfish has been removed from the inside of you. And you're now under a new master, and his name is Jesus. Free. Free. How many of you, the spirit of oppression is off of you? How many of you, by the lifting your hand and wave at me, if you did, you came with oppressed and under a cloud of some kind, but now you're free in Jesus' name. You're free in Jesus' name. I see the hands. I see that. Some of you, did you move around? And some of you, you had limited mobility in some of your body. And the enemy was oppressing you with something and causing you to be limited. But now you're free. Wave your hand at me if that's you. There's back there. There's Tracy back there. He's got his hand up. Sonny's got his hand up. Another person over here. Another person over here. Another person right there. Back there. Let's give the Lord glory. Let's praise Him. Jesus set you free. Jesus set you free. Jesus brought you freedom. Jesus enables you to walk in victory and in freedom and in liberty. You're free to move with God. Free. Declare your freedom right now. I'm free. In Jesus' name. I said, I'm free. 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 The Lord has done a great work. Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. Magnify your name. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, magnify you, and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Father. You set us free. Jesus set us free. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And where He is, there's liberty. There's freedom. We walk in freedom. We walk in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, my friend, if you need prayer for something else tonight, or anything, you know, and guys, come over here to these guys and they'll pray with you and they'll help you to walk in freedom. Sometimes, folks, you know, listen to me, there's no condemnation in that. Ladies, come over here to these ladies, if you would. Listen to me. Sometimes, listen to me, it's like, you know, you got something you're trying to walk in. It's like trying to learn to ride a bicycle. You need a little help. That's what it is. And so you come if you need that. And they'll be here to pray with you and believe God with you so that you'll be able to walk in the freedom that you need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we got first-time guests. If you'll find your first-time guests and take them to the West Lobby, and there's a special gift for you. Let's give them a great big hand for being here tonight. We thank God for that. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Bill, just put your hand on Tad. He's leaving for Kenya in the morning. And going to be gone a number of days. Stretch your hands out. Let's pray for him. Lord, thank you that you use him in a way. Use him in a new way. I don't know how to describe it other than this. I hear the Lord say, let a different spirit come upon him now in the name of Jesus. So that he be used in a way that is needed and necessary where you're going in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for it now. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you make a way that you, Father, you're surrounding them. Angels camped around about them at all times. Guard, protect, and keep all of them safe at every time, every place, in the name of Jesus. Declare they'll be at the right place at the right time. Hindrances removed and obstacles out of the way. And in the name of Jesus, the way made open. Lord, I thank you that when he gets there, he'll find out you've already been there. You've already been there. You've already been there. You're already made a way. You already opened the door. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we thank you that you'll return safely home to this spot. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Shake hands with somebody and tell them that you love them in the Lord, and you are dismissed. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power at 7 p.m.